Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On3. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On3 has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com, subscribe today. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you, as always, for listening to our content. But for more in-depth coverage on the Indiana Hoosiers football, basketball, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com on 3. Now with On3 and great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong for football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton's constantly breaking stories on the basketball side. And the local coverage from Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning. You can catch something new every day at thehoosier.com. Go there. Sign up today.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win!
Taylor's gone! Goodbye, touchdown, Indy!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, everybody. Welcome aboard to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this fine Tuesday. Glad to have you along for another ride here on today, and looking forward to it. Plenty to talk about. Of course, each day brings new names of interest for basketball fans, no matter who your team is, but especially if you're an Indiana fan, as they look to fill their roster. The staff looks to be filled out for the most part, at least from the coaching standpoint. Officially, that is not quite the case yet. We're still waiting to hear the official announcement of Drew Adams. And that will complete the coaching staff, as the others have been named. But something I saw of note that, well, a couple of things. Former Indiana assistant Kenya Hunter has been hired as the final assistant by Sean Miller at Texas. The old buddy, brother, his brother's former guy. So keeping it in the family there. But also, let's see. Alabama assistant coach Preston Murphy, according to a report, turned down an opportunity to join Darren DeVries. I don't know when that was, but he decided to stay at Alabama with Nate Oates. He's close to getting, he's kind of like in the same situation that, Corey Barnett was in. Very, very close to getting a head coaching position of his own. So, that's probably why he didn't move, to be honest with you. And we'll see like it matters or if it does or what it would matter. But appreciate everybody jumping on the hotline this morning. Milton on there as well. everybody from all over. Appreciate you guys. And I appreciate each and every one of you listening, no matter where and how, whether it's on one of our great affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, always the right call down in Evansville. 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, the voice of the region, WJOB, up in the region. And Fort Wayne's only sports station. Fort Wayne's only sports station, people. Remember that. 1380, The Fan. Keep it locked right there. You don't need to go anywhere else throughout the day. Great to be with you guys as you're going about your day, and lots to get to. Mike DeCourcy joining us. Alec Lasley as well from thehoosier.com. This will get you caught up on what's the latest on the basketball recruiting side for the Hoosiers. Lots of guys coming in. And this is a big weekend for Indiana football as well. A lot of guys coming in. Pete State wide receiver Dallas Dickerson will be on his official visit this weekend. One of the state's best in Hammond Morton offensive tackle Cameron Miller is a priority target. Kingston Cass quarterback Brody McWhorter, who commits on May 15th, Indiana is in the top five for him, along with Auburn, Colorado, Mississippi State, and Wisconsin. So some heady competition there. East St. Louis, Illinois, big play receiver Cortez Rupert. He's one of the Hoosiers that I've been keeping tabs on, will be in. And class of 2027, defensive back. Keyshawn Telfair, along with 2028 defensive lineman Caleb Tucker, talented underclassmen that will be in as well. And the spring game. 2 days away, people. 2 days. Who all's going to make it out there? Looking forward to it. We'll be out there for certainly. Five Less says Trent Sisley is an All-American. Is that something that just came out? Appreciate you hitting that up. He is an All-American, but did he just win another award? Yes, it is. It was a little chilly in the AM, but that's that great chilly. That's that great chill in the spring that you know the sun's going to burn it off, and it's going to be nice. You see the glistening of the it's a combination. It's not frozen because it's above 32, but it got down there. It got down there, no doubts. Let's see. Four former Hoosiers are playing in the NBA playoffs as they get ready to get underway. And, of course, I'm sure most of you know who that is, but they will be playing in the
playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding?
Nope. There are four of them. OG Anunoby, Khalil Ware, Trace Jackson Davis, and Thomas Bryant. That would have been a hard one to get. People probably forget that one. But who goes the furthest? Who goes the furthest? OG and Thomas Bryant can run into each other. OG with the Knicks, Khalil Ware with Miami, Trey Jackson Davis, of course, he's out west. He's got the hardest path. I mean, there's no way that anybody is coming out of the west past Oklahoma City. I mean, that would be a major upset. A major, major upset, so to speak. But we'll talk more about that as well. Lamar Wilkerson, of course, we'll talk about him down to Indiana and Kentucky, according to a report from Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com, who, like I said, will be with us today. Mike Shenanigans says Wilkerson would compete against other talent to play minutes at Kentucky than he would have at IU, pretty much a guarantee at IU. Well, that does go a long way for players. There's no doubt about that. And maybe that is something that will sway him. But also knowing how good the team is going to be, that goes into it as well. They want to play on a winner. They want to play. Don't get me wrong. You're right. They also want to know they're playing on a winner. And
not that Kentucky is just a year ahead in the process, is all, than Indiana is. So it'll be interesting to see what Darren DeVries and crew can get done. That's a big piece. Lamar Mulkerson was looking a minute ago, listed in the list of top available guys. Transfer portal, a top 10 available. He's in that top 10 on the on three side. The on three has him ranked in the portal as number 26. Again, he's a grad transfer, so it's not like he's a young man. But again, I look through this list. Now there are several P4 schools: Florida State, Texas Tech, St. John's, Washington State, UNC. Then you got Robert Morris, Sam Houston State, Kansas State, Mississippi State. So most of them are from P4 schools, but we've seen so many guys that were from mid-level or even below making it in there. So we've got plenty to get to. Going to take a break here in a second so we can get our guys in. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News will be joining us next and first. Looking forward to his visit, as always. Talk about just about anything. And we will. What would you like to talk about? We're going to get you updated with all the recruiting action going on when Alec Glazey joins us. And we're going to talk some football as well, because spring game, it's just 2 days away. Can't believe that, man. It's here. And then you've got the Little 500. You've got the Kentucky Derby, the Indy 500. It goes on and on and on and on. And doesn't stop. Looking forward to it, people. Glad to have you along for the ride, as always. We'll take a pause for the cause. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Tuesday. And, you know, that means a visit from our good friend Mike DeCourcy with the Sporting News, Big Ten Networks, Fox Networks. Let's see, ESPN, NBC, CBS. Who am I? I'm kidding. Just teasing. I was trying to hit them all. Mike DeCourcy, how are you, sir?
I am well, Jim. How are you?
I can't complain. Spring is here, man. So you got a lot less to complain about once spring arrives. You can moan about it beforehand when it's cold, nasty, and rainy and dreary, but spring kind of takes a lot of those excuses away.
Well, we don't have spring yet here, so does that mean I can spend the next half hour complaining? Is that how it
works? Absolutely. That's what the time zones are for, baby. That's what the time zones are for. This time zone is still complaining, and I absolutely will. But what's new in the life of Mike DeCourcy? We just finished up, so I assume you were down in San Antonio.
Of course.
And for the Final Four. First of all, I've said it numerous times, what a tremendous Final Four. Kind of knew that going in. We just knew because we'd seen what the play had been like, and there was no reason to expect otherwise, and it played out just as we thought that it would.
Well, it was tremendous basketball, very entertaining, very compelling to the very end of each of the three games, and we very rarely get – all three games to be great games. Even like you look back to 2008, first and only other time we had four number one seeds, the two semifinal games were awful games. The first game between Memphis and UCLA was not competitive, but Derrick Rose was brilliant, so at least you had that. And then the Carolina-Kansas game that year was horrendous. I recall a score of something like 43-14 at one point in the game. It was that bad. We did not have that this time. This time we had three games that were all riveting. And we had certainly teams that built big leads. We had Duke built a big lead on Houston, but let it get away. Auburn built significant lead on Florida, let it get away. And then Houston built a significant lead on Florida and let that get away. All the more reason why those games were so exciting, because you just you think you know where it's going, and then you get that change of direction. And Florida, of course, was responsible for a lot of that. They showed a great spirit in their ability to come back on both occasions in the Final Four and, of course, the Elite Eight and the second round.
Yeah, I just got to give it to them, because I still don't know how Houston managed to lose that game. I've used the same analogy, but it was like kind of like a boxing match, and Houston just pummeled Florida in the face for 10 rounds. It's like somebody just popping you right in the nose for 10 rounds, and they took it and stayed within striking distance. They just couldn't get any separation from them, truly separated, although it was a Houston type of game. It was mucked up. It was low scoring defensive battle, but Florida didn't wither. And like you just said, man, you got to give it. That is the mark of a champion. They took it. They stood there and took those punches to the face over and over, but didn't go down and had the wherewithal to not only take that, but come back and find the energy to win.
You know, Jim, Walter Clayton's performance in the NCAA tournament should become legendary in the way that Glenn Rice in 89 performed on a legendary basis. We go back to that. Of course, Christian Laettner in 1992, his great play. There have been others along the way where one player really just dominated the proceedings. And I think Walter Clayton's performance in the NCAA tournament is one of the greatest we've seen. Delivering under pressure on multiple occasions, dealing with dealing with extensive defensive pressure, excessive defensive pressure from multiple opponents. Texas Tech did it. Houston did it a little. Double teaming on every opportunity to try to get the ball out of his hands. And in the Houston game, you know, it's funny, I was reading somebody, and I don't remember who it was, who said that he was on his way to being a GOAT for Florida's loss. And I thought, boy, that's a little rough. I mean, he had 7 assists midway through the second half, something like that. I mean, he was dealing with excessive defensive pressure. And unlike against Texas Tech, when his reaction to their constant double teams was to basically give up the ball and let somebody else try to make something happen for too long until the end, and then they saved them along with Thomas Hauck. Against Houston, he dealt with it and he punished it, and he did create baskets, just not his own, until I think 7:32 left in the game, he finally scored himself. You have to allow for the fact that he did not overreact to that defensive pressure. He responded appropriately by creating plays for his teammates and keeping them competitive. And then when he found an opening to get some buckets himself or to get fouled, he winds up with 11 points. It was a remarkable performance by Walter Clayton in that game all the way through. And one of the reasons I bring that up is I spent yesterday dealing with a lot of people who continue to complain about the mid-major lot in the current college basketball circumstance. And no one talking about how, isn't it fair, isn't it just that someone like Walter Clayton should get the opportunity that his talent warrants? Should he, because he was not recruited heavily out of high school, be consigned to play forever at an okay level instead of the highest level that he's capable of excelling? He became a first team All-American. He was a lock for first team All-America. The first four players on our All-America team clearly made it. The fifth one, Mark Sears, it was close between him and a couple others. But the first two were unanimous. Braden Smith was nearly unanimous, and then Walter Clayton was close to Braden Smith. I think that shows you that he deserved the opportunity to play at a higher level. And then what he did in the NCAA tournament clearly established that. Do I think it's great that players can transfer multiple times without having to pay any cost, so to speak? No, because I think it is too unstable. But I think every player should get the opportunity to transfer once without.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
I don't think anybody disagrees.
Oh, no. You go through my Twitter mentions, Jim.
Well, then those people are just there's a line where. Or there's a box where people have a lot of different opinions and you have to allow those. But then there's some that are just too far outside the lines. And I'm like, I'm sorry, right or wrong, I'm going to have to make a decision. You're outside the lines. And so you go. And so that's exactly where I would put those opinions. But
I had a lot of that yesterday from fans.
I would like that as well. I mean, you absolutely should have the opportunity to do it once. Well, without question, you can have the opportunity to do it twice, but not without some type of I don't want to call it a penalty, but a dissuader. And people get on the thing about, well, coaches, they're not leaving one school to go to another school to go to another school and go to another school. They're not coaching four different places in 4 years. They make a move. So I don't have a problem with that. There is a penance to pay, whether it's a buyout that has to be taken care of or whatever the case is. No one's stopping guys from transferring. It's these guys that I see that have played in four different places. What the hell is that? I as a school, I personally wouldn't want a guy who's been at three other places.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I predicted when I talked about back 10 years ago or whatever, before we had this, the one thing I predicted was that players would be getting used, so to speak. More and more programs, I need a backup big guy. I need 15 minutes a game out of a big body. Let's go get him in the portal. That's what happens. And players,
dude, I call it Walmart. You go down aisle 15. I need a quick non-scoring point guard. Oh, they're over on aisle 12. I need the big guy that you just talked about. They're back in hardware. I mean, that's basically what you're going through.
Yeah, and so the player thinks, okay, I'm going to get the opportunity to play 30 minutes a game and I'll be the starter and all that. And they get there and they find out the reality is much different than that. And that ends up leading to these transfers because they make the first move thinking, okay, this is my nirvana. This is where I'm going to really make it. And then they find out that they're only there to play those 15 minutes I talked about. So that's why you need some dissuasion there. And it's one of the reasons why I was not enamored of this concept, because I knew this is what was going to happen to athletes in too many instances, that they would become situational players. Like, you're a pro. You have an understanding. Like, when you get signed by the Utah Jazz, you know what they are. You know what they need. You know what they're bringing you in for. Then you know what they're going to pay you to bring you in for that. It's different when you're a college player and you're a star where you are, and you get brought up, so to speak, because your team needs a specific need filled. Your new team needs a specific need filled, and you fill it. Whether, like I said, whether it's 6 or 8 rebounds a game in 14, 18 minutes, or whether it's 3 3-point shots in a game over 16 or 18 minutes, you become that. And that's why players go, okay, from A to B, and now that this didn't work, this isn't what I signed up for. It is what they signed up for, but they didn't realize it. So now they're going B to C. And that's often how it works. Now, sometimes you have a player like the Tennessee quarterback, Nico, who I wrote about today at sportingnews.com, or actually yesterday, it's up there today, who completely decided that reportedly $2 million wasn't enough to start a quarterback in the SEC, and decided to gamble, risk his future, his pro career, just to get a few more dollars in the short term. That's just, I mean, now we're talking about somebody who is doing something entirely different and something that
career suicide.
Yeah. I mean, the word I used, it wasn't the most, it wasn't the most eloquent word of all time, but it was dumb. What he did was dumb, Jim. It's not smart. It's not business smart. It's not competitively smart. It's not smart on any level to handle what he, his situation, the way he did at Tennessee. They signed him to a very...
sounds like the agent getting involved here. This sounds like a pro type of, oh, no, we're going to hold out, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Right.
And it just seems a little more than dangerous. Even in this era where somebody will take you probably, that attitude of having that has to carry over. The next coaching staff has to look at that, and they have to know, well, this guy, he ain't playing to play. He's playing for the Greenbacks.
Yeah, I mean, the way I described it in the column was there will be somebody foolish or desperate enough to take Nico. But do you want to play for the foolish and desperate or for the organization that has produced in this decade two NFL quarterbacks? Jim, do you know what it? Do you know what you like? Not even like if you're Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Do you know what you make just to be a backup quarterback in the NFL? Like it's a $4 million, $5 million a year job. Kyle Allen for the Steelers last year was their number three quarterback. He made $1.9 million to be their third quarterback. He threw one pass all year long. And he made $1.9 million for coming in and throwing one pass all year. And he made $1.9 million, showed up for practice, showed up for meetings. That's all you had to do. And you make $2 million. I mean, come on. Like you can't gamble that for another possible million now. There's too much out there. And what NFL team is going to want to deal with a guy unless he turns into, and there's been no suggestion that he's of that level of talent, that he's going to be Patrick Mahomes or somebody. And are you more likely to become Patrick Mahomes in a functional offense that's winning games like Tennessee, or more likely to do it at somebody that's scraping around for a transfer quarterback after spring football? What's more likely? It was just a ridiculous move. We see this kind of stuff very rarely. People making this sort of foolish decision, but it's available to players with the rules as they're written. Again, as I said, I don't have a problem with the rules as they're written on that first move, and this would be his first move. So you can make a dumb decision even with good rules, and he has made a decision that will impact the rest of his career.
No doubt, and that could cost him a lot of money in the end of the day. But more importantly, again, it puts NFL GMs are the ones that this stuff they pay attention to probably yes. more than anybody in sports. I mean, there is nothing you've ever done in your life that an NFL GM is not going to know about. I mean, they go back to when you're 10 and you stole a piece of gum. Doesn't matter. They it's like they find out. It's crazy. I'm not saying it's all, you know, the Wonderlic test and all of that stuff they put you through and this, that, and the other thing. But man, they are serious about all the things they go through, and it's so easy to not see the long game when you've got this big picture right in front of you that's a short termer. I get it. I mean, I can't say that I would be. I would hope that I would be smarter than that, but I can't say that I wouldn't make a dumb decision here and there because I haven't been presented with the opportunity to make millions of dollars. No one has made that opportunity to me or presented that as an opportunity. But yeah, you hope that they're getting an education that they need. Not only that they're getting the guidance that they need and not getting the guidance that they don't need.
Right. Let's not forget, Jim, he was already making millions of dollars, reportedly. So there's something to be said for I'm making a few million here and I'm happy and I'm successful and I'm on the right track, as opposed to I don't know where I'll end up. I don't know how much I will make. Maybe more, probably more, maybe not. And I don't know if I'll be happy. I may not like the next coach. I may not be successful. It's an amazing situation.
Yeah, and Andy says that college won't be able to work like American pro sports model. Way too many teams, universities at varying levels, which makes sense. American pro sports is a closed model with limited teams all working on the same product in the same time, in the same frame, with rules, contract rules, with, you know, trade rules, all of that. It's protected. They know, like you said earlier, you know what the team is going to be, you know, barring injuries and all that stuff. You know, unless there's a trade. But and are trades something that are coming to the future?
No, that will never happen in the college game. That will not happen. And he's right.
Well, they've done everything else.
He said it won't work on the American pro sports model, and it's not. I mean, it's much different than. And that's one of the reasons why people who are arguing for collective bargaining, I still have my doubts. I did hear yesterday in an interview on SiriusXM, one of the Players Association advocates, generator type people, say that, you know, I've always said that the reason we won't have representation of collective bargaining for athletes, or it won't for a very long time, is the schools do not want to get into employer-employee. And this person suggested that you could do a Screen Actors Guild model where you're not technically their employer. They are independent contractors. They contract to work for you. I guess at least it opened the possibility that that could be plausible. But without employer-employee, I just don't see how you get the athletes together enough to organize under one umbrella. So I don't see that for a very, very long time. It may change as a result of the House settlement. That's because the House settlement is about to restrict earnings that have been unrestricted for the last 3-4 years. And when that happens, I suspect there will be a reaction to that. I don't think that the athletes are going to love it, because that budget becomes more limited. Right now, there's no restriction on what you can pay or what you can earn. And the House settlement suggests that there will be if it's approved. So I don't know what we will see in the next 4 to 5 years. But I do know that you have to operate in the current system intelligently and strategically, or else it will take advantage of you. Or you could, as Nico did, short circuit your own future.
Is this system sustainable?
Yeah, I don't see why it's not, Jim. I mean,
the product has been great. We cannot, I said, the product has never been better. And that's a bad argument for people, those that don't like it. It's a hard argument because everything is better from the product.
Yeah, I keep hearing that it can't continue to work. So let's just say that the people who are funding it right now decide not to fund it to the same level. Okay, so everybody makes a little less. But if you look at I also keep hearing that people are going to turn it off. When are they going to turn it off, Jim? More than 100 million people watched the college football playoff. The NCAA tournament had another. Had a phenomenal year in terms of audience. Final Four was well viewed. Sweet 16, et cetera, et cetera. It had a great year, a better year than a year ago. A year ago, we were up from the last year. I think at the first couple of rounds, we had the highest viewing, I should say, the highest television viewership since 2019. So I don't see people turning this stuff off. All I see is more and more people tuning it in. The women's tournament, also operating now, under these
major,
current rules.
Major drop. I'm glad I meant to bring that
a
up.
A major drop, indeed, from Caitlin Clark level, right? But right. Double what it was getting on average before Caitlin came along. That it still got 9 million. It used to get 4 or 5. So still a dramatic increase over what we're used to. People are turning away. People like what they're seeing. We hear a lot of complaints from fans of mid-major programs, from fans of what used to be, but we aren't seeing people turn away in the way that is being suggested by those commenters.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News with me as always on this Tuesday. Jim Coyle alongside here, and we're coming to you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. I was out there yesterday. Make sure you stop by the Hard Truth there in Nashville. We've got lots more coming up and back with it after a little pause for the cause. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Oh, it's tax day. He's the tax man. Whoa, the tax man. Man, forgot about that one. Who? There's like one person that loves my singing, Mike, out of the billions of people in the world.
Do you know who that one person is?
Yes, Russell's on here, always asking for more singing. But I think that I don't know if it's a hearing problem or what the issue is, but there's obviously an issue there. Indiana and Kentucky competing head-to-head for Lamar Wilkerson right now. One of the pieces Indiana is trying to pull in that Darren DeVries trying to pull in as he tries to fill his roster. Kentucky, obviously, in year two under Mark Pope, he's got the experience of already having done that. But Lamar Wilkerson is on three. He's in their top 10 of portal guys, a shooting guard out of Sam Houston State. And I know that this is not your typical recruiting battle, but it's good to see a legit, straight-up, head-to-head recruiting battle between Indiana and Kentucky, again, seriously, because that series resumes next year. That's going to be incredible to see because it should have never gone away. But it's going to be fun once the – and Louisville. Indiana signed a deal with Louisville to play as well. So, but the old-fashioned head-to-head recruiting battle – it's not the same because of NIL and all that. Plus, you know, Lamar Wilkerson, he looks at Kentucky. He kind of knows what they're going to be like, has an understanding at least. They're in their second year. They've got a lot of pieces that are coming back there that they don't have to fill the places they did last year under Mark Pope. Indiana, you still have, you're clueless right now. You may know that, hey, I'm going to get to play more if I go to Indiana, but what are they going to be like? I still think that matters to these guys. They want the money. Yes. They want the limelight. Yes. But they also want to win. And if you don't believe me, go look at the teams that were in the Final Four. Every guy on Florida, every guy on Houston, every guy on Duke, every guy on, I'm drawing a blank.
Auburn.
They wanted to win, and everything that they did was built to win. They played like that all season. So anytime I hear people complain about, well, NFL, NIL, no. Guy, at the end of the day, guys still want to win. Winners still want to win. And so you've got to recruit those kind of guys, and you've got to have them on your team.
Well, I mean, that part of your evaluation process has to be to assess who does want to win. Exactly. I think we have all seen players who really, that's not a high priority for them. And that it's been fairly apparent after seeing them for a while that it's not a high priority for them. So I don't know. I only know about this young man's numbers, which are significant. He's got the numbers that you would want. High scoring average, excellent shooting percentage, terrific three-point shooter. On a lot of attempts, this is not somebody that shoots a great number because he almost never shoots. This is somebody who shooting well in excess of 40% from three on a significant number of shot tries. So somebody that it really fits. And I told you before, Jim, that when we see guys go into the portal or more so come out, the one thing I want to know is on a perimeter player, a wing player, is what was his 3-point percentage? That's my first thing, because that translates. If you get guys open shots, most often they'll make them, or make them at the same rate, I should say, as they made them in a different level. Guys who can shoot can shoot. Now, sometimes they might not, they might struggle to get shots off at different levels or that sort of thing. But if you get them open, they should be able to make the shots. You look at that, and then you look at the like big guys, you look at, do they block shots and rebound, especially block shots, because it's harder to find. Rebounding is great, and that rebounding translates above all. It's always been the statistic that moves best. Malik Rose averaged a ton of rebounds at Drexel back in the 90s. Goes to the NBA, averages a ton of rebounds. It doesn't matter. Like, he was at Drexel one moment, next moment he's in the NBA, still able to get big rebounds. So those are the characteristics that you want to see to have an idea whether or not the player can translate. And in this case, Wilkerson, tremendous 3-point shooter, that should carry over to Kentucky or Indiana.
I know that there shouldn't necessarily be a lot of quote unquote pressure on a coach in his first year, but it's Indiana, and sorry, but that's not the case, because there is. There was pressure the day that you were introduced as the Indiana basketball coach. And that's the same at Duke. It's the same at Kentucky. That's the same at Kansas. It's the same at all these places. And a separate thing, I had someone try to, it was a Kentucky fan, argue that I said that Indiana is still very relevant. And they are. I also say they have not in any way lived up to their elite status, their blue blood status for several years. They haven't on the winning side, but that is separate from their relevance. And that to me is the most amazing thing, is they are still so relevant without that elite winning. They have remained, they are, according to the Wall Street Journal's report that was out, they're the third most valuable, as they do it, the third most valuable college basketball program behind Duke and North Carolina and Duke. And there's a reason. You can't be that way without being a very, very viable program. You just haven't won. But the fact their fan base is so incredible, the tradition is so entrenched, that even this terrible run that they've had still hasn't tamped it out. That is amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the fan base has been amazing at Indiana in terms of its persistence. They have not given up on the program. And it has been a while since there was elite success. I mean, you had the Big Ten championship in 2016. You had the one in 13, and you had the number one overall seed in 13 that got the tough draw against Syracuse and didn't succeed against the zone. But then you have to go all the way back basically to 2002. That's really difficult history, recent history, 21st century, that Indiana has not achieved consistently. And yet you have that continued interest in the Hoosiers. That's something to be respected. It's interesting that you talk about the pressure. I think the pressure on Darren DeVries is to show that there's an energy and a connection and a commitment to excellence, and not this, what's the best word? Lack of functionality.
Disassociation?
I don't want to say dysfunction. That's too strong a word. They weren't dysfunctional, but they weren't functional. It didn't operate at a high level.
They were disassociated from the current college game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was one of the concerns when he was hired, was that he had been away for 40 years. If you were Tom Izzo and you coached those 40 years in Division I, you still had to face dramatic changes, significant dramatic changes in the last 5 years from what he had been accustomed to for the previous 30. He still had to cope with that, as Matt did, or John Calipari. They all faced that, and some of them managed it better than others. But you look at coming into this environment where very few people are familiar with it, and he's unfamiliar not only with what it is becoming, but even what it had been. I think that made it hard for him to succeed. And that was always my concern about going and getting somebody from the NBA who not only hadn't been, who not only hadn't coached in college, but who hadn't been around college for 4 years. There was always a little bit of hope, or a little bit too much hope in that concept. And I think the one thing that it accomplished, Jim, was it allowed Indiana to move forward into an era that wasn't necessarily connected to the Knight era. That you didn't have to be from the family. You didn't have to be someone who played for him, coached for him, whatever. You could move forward with just somebody who is considered to be an excellent college basketball coach who offers you the opportunity to compete at the highest level. That's what they, that's all they were looking for this time around, and that's what they found in Darren DeVries. That's what they got. Now, he has not yet won consistently at the level that Indiana wants to win. But most people who get to this level have not done that. Tom Izzo, when he went to Michigan State as head coach, was 0-0. And then within 5 years was in the Final Four and had won a national championship.
Bob Knight did the same thing at Indiana.
There you go. So it's mostly about, can you do it? And every indication that Coach DeVries has given over the course of his career, especially since he became head coach at Drake, is that he can do this. He just has to get the right players in there and the right circumstance and the right breaks. And all of that's a factor. But I think they made a really good hire here. And I think the most important thing for him to do right now is just say, this is the standard. This is, we do not compete below this level. There is you go below the level and you either lose your spot or you lose your place in the program. That was something that I don't think was established well enough in early in Mike Woodson's term.
And this is going completely off the rails, but we don't have the time to talk about it. I wish I did. Somebody just brought this up. Kenneth's just asking, has anyone seen this stuff about Utah joining the Big Ten? And I only mention that because I'm like, you know what? That would be very different, but I could see that because I bet that they cover all of the academic standards. They're in a unique market to themselves in the central time zone. I mean, mountain time zone, not the Pacific time zone. So that would give them yet another time zone. That would actually give them teams in all American time zones, from the east to the central to the mountain and the Pacific. And BYU has just become an athletics, I don't want to say juggernaut just yet, but they're pretty damn good. Their basketball program, they've got a national championship in their past in football. But it would be interesting. I don't know if there's anything to that at all. But I just found
I'm not buying it, Jim. I don't think the Big Ten would have any interest in that at all. There's no need at this stage. There's no abiding desire to get bigger. I don't see that in the least. I think they're still trying to manage the transition to the number that they have, which had its good parts and its rough parts in its first year. And at the longer they go through this, the fewer rough parts there will be. And so, no, I don't see that at any time in the immediate future. They're trying to work through a lot of other issues. What will House do if it comes to be? Are they getting their money's worth, so to speak, with the way they are now? I think they are, but they have to go through that. No, I don't see that at all. And the fact that Utah hasn't wanted anything. I mean, like in the Big 12, they were not big winners in the Big 12. In basketball, they were among the poorest teams in the league. In football, I don't think they had as good a year in the Big 12 as they had been having in the Pac-12. So no, I don't see that. If there is a movement, I think it's far off in the future. I think the most desirable program for any league would be North Carolina. And then maybe somebody to go along with that. But I don't see anybody making any moves in the immediate future. There's still too much to figure out about where everything is now rather than where it's going.
No doubt about that. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Fox, and Big Ten Networks. Make sure you're giving him a follow, keeping up with the content at the Sporting News. Appreciate you, my friend, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
We've got more coming up on the backside from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Tuesday. Thank you so much for being with us, no matter where or how you're following along on our great radio station affiliates, 97.7 ESPN, The Ref in Evansville, 1230, 104.7 FM, The Voice of the Region, WJOB in Hammond, Chicago, and Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380, The Fan. Keep it locked right here. No reason to go anywhere else. And if you are not able to listen on those stations, you can follow us on YouTube. Just make sure you hit that subscribe and notifications toggle or wherever you podcast. Subscribe. Now, if you want to keep up on what's going on with Indiana a little more frequently than even here, because it's a nonstop, ever-moving situation, go to thehoosier.com. Subscribe today. They've got a great offer, $1 for the first month, 50% off for the rest of your first year. And it is constant breaking news there, thehoosier.com. Now with On3, the most connected guys in the country when it comes to recruiting both football and basketball. You've got Jamie Shaw and Joe Tipton on the basketball side, Steve Wilfong, Andy Staples on the football side. That's just national. And tons of local coverage as well. So go to thehoosier.com, support those guys, and it helps us as well bring you better content with better guests and keeping you informed as well. So it would be greatly appreciated if you went there and helped those guys out. They are starting that from the ground up, and it is a lot of great information there. North Florida transfer guard Josiah Miles visiting Indiana today. As I'm sure you've seen, this is in the Hoosier.com. They are hosting the transfer guard. His visit beginning today. Per Joe Tipton from On3, he is the 223rd ranked portal prospect. Yeah, I'll say that again. Miles, the 223rd ranked portal prospect, according to On3's industry ranking. Now, that doesn't always mean a whole lot, but in his sophomore season in North Florida, he averaged 15 points, almost seven rebounds, and two assists per game while starting all 32 games. He's a 6'6" oversized guard who shot 42.5% from the field and 33.5% from three-point range on seven attempts per game. How in the hell is this guy the 223rd ranked portal prospect with those numbers? I mean, 42.5% from the field, 33.5% from three-point on seven attempts per game. That's a little high. That's a lot high to be ranked where he is. Overall, Miles was efficient for the Ospreys during last season's run. He recorded an effective field goal percentage of 52% and a true shooting percentage of 54% a season ago. He posted double figures in all but three games last season. His best performance of the year came in early December in a conference road game at Georgia Southern. He poured in 30 points. His only 30-point performance of the season, he grabbed 11 boards, went 6 of 12 from behind the arc. Over the course of his two seasons there at North Florida, he appeared in 64 games, starting 51 of them. Holds career averages of 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, and his shooting numbers are pretty similar. I don't understand why he's ranked the way he's ranked. I understand he's not playing against the talent level, but neither are these other guys that are coming out of those situations. So can't wait to talk to Alec about him. And I don't to get a better understanding of why that might be down there. Lamar Wilkerson, of course, we talked about him. We'll talk more about him. Yeah, I don't know I know that Utah is not BYU. I don't know what I said. I probably did get those confused a minute ago. My apologies. Yeah, I know the difference between BYU and Utah. BYU is in Utah. But it's amazing that both of them have just really risen in the sports world, and you don't think of the state of Utah as a sports state. But getting back to Lamar Wilkerson, rather, he visited Indiana on Saturday, Kentucky on Sunday. He had a visit scheduled to Auburn on Monday, but he canceled it on Monday afternoon. As of Monday night, the feel around the recruitment is that Lamar Wilkerson is a Kentucky lean following his visit to Lexington, but no commitment has been made. And that's what that lends canceling the Auburn visit. That really pushes me towards him being a Kentucky lean as well. You know, people complained, oh, you didn't get the commitment when he was here. Oh, you know, hey, Kentucky didn't get the commitment when he was there either. They may end up with it, but they didn't get it on his visit. So chill out with that. He's making his decision how he's making it. Stop. And people need to stop. A minute ago, someone said if he chooses Kentucky, it's definitely because of the coach. You can't say that. You have no idea what is in his decision-making process. You don't know what the NIL situation is. You don't know what he's being told as far as playing. Remember this. You don't know what you don't know. So to make just staunch guesses like that, when there's too much information left out, you just can't do that. Wilkerson only has one season of eligibility remaining. And that brings a question to mind too. How much is Indiana going to have to redo this next year? I know that every year teams are going to have to face these situations, but Indiana cannot fill, when you need to fill an entire roster like Indiana does, you can't fill it with guys that have 1 year of eligibility remaining. Because you're going to be doing this exact same thing again next season. Now, there will be transfers regardless, but you don't want it to be the entire roster, which, yeah, Trent Sisley would be there and any other freshman that they might bring in. But I'm talking, that's 15 guys. There's a lot of, I'm talking about the eight, the magic eight, the hateful eight. Just kidding, that's a movie. But, you know, the eight or nine guys that are going to actually be playing. You would certainly hope those eight or nine guys are not one-year guys. So we'll see how it works out, and we'll talk more about it when Alec Lasley joins us at the in the next segment. Trent Sisley had a great run, finished his year. Now he just gets to chill out for a minute before he arrives in Bloomington in June and meets, well, whatever is together by then. I would imagine by then it would be put together. We've been saying to expect, fans should expect commitments to begin happening this week. As a matter of fact, I think that there's a need for commitments to start happening this week, because if they're not by now, you start to wonder, okay, why are guys not trickling in? Now, I do think players are taking a little more time with decision making. You still have guys that are entering the portal. They can do so up for another week or longer than that. Now another week or so. Almost exactly, as a matter of fact. So there's going to be more names. There's going to be names in the portal you don't even know about yet. So that's why. A lot of guys in there. It's a lot to sift through, man. It's a lot to sift through. You know, I talked about it being like going to Walmart. Well, think about a Walmart superstore. Okay? And that's kind of like what the transfer portal is like. It is a superstore. But now think about the size of that superstore. Each department, how big each department is. And in this case, each department would be a point guard, a shooting guard, a small forward wing, a power forward wing, a big that a mobile big that can shoot, a big that can do this. You've got all these needs that are in all of these different departments. So you've got to go visit every one of those departments and go through all of their inventory. That's a lot to sift through, man, in a short period of time. Not only do you have to sift through it to find the guys, to find the pieces that you want to look at. Once you do that, then there's the other processes of the contact and setting up the visits and having the visits. So there is so much that goes on, and you're trying to make it all happen in a very, very compact time. A lot going on when you're replacing an entire team, people. Remember that. And it's your first team. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged on how well you filled this roster. You're going to be judged on the talent you were able to bring in. You're going to be judged on the team you were able to put together, because you have a blank checkbook and a blank canvas. So it's up to Darren DeVries and his group of merry men that is now pretty much in place. The latest assistant added to Indiana, Kenny Johnson, rather. And he's a recruiter now. Different recruiting days when he was at IU last, but I don't think that matters. He's a recruiter. He's a guy that has great rapport with players. I think that was a great pickup for Indiana, as a matter of fact. And Drew Adams, not officially named as a staffer yet, but again, great recruiting connections. They add a potential GM to the staff, which he has not been listed as that. I don't know that he even has a title, as a matter of fact. Mike Bargan. But I think that it's going to be along the lines of a GM, at least right now, until it is either officially merited out or that position is really created. And he's not going to be in a coaching position. So he's going to be spending his time on recruiting, which he is doing right now. But just like the rest of the staff is. Kenny Johnson doesn't come here empty-handed. He comes here having recruited guys from his last stop. He knows the guys that are out there. He's already had to be paying attention to this, already immersed in this. So it's not like he's starting over. A little bit, because it's a different landing spot now. So the guys you were looking at, probably not going to look at. I think that when a lot of people ask about why didn't a lot of players come from West Virginia? Well, it's Indiana, not West Virginia. And that sounds arrogant, but I think that you should be able to get a different level of player at Indiana than you could in your first season at West Virginia. I think that I would imagine that the NIL pot is a lot more robust at Indiana than it is at West Virginia. I would think that Indiana is a much more desirable landing spot than West Virginia. And this is not in any way meant to be negative towards West Virginia. I'm just pointing out some facts and why that maybe those guys are not coming. He thinks he can get better players for the kind that he wants. For the players that he wants to use. And someone mentioned earlier, it's pretty obvious Darren DeVries is going after specific types of players. I just talked about, a guy that's ranked, what, 300 or 223rd, whatever I said, in the portal, but his numbers are off the chain. If he can do that at Indiana, he'll be a freaking star. So we'll see. Hey, former Indiana center Umar Ballo is going to play in the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament later this week. That tournament is a 12-game tournament that is comprised of 64 seniors split into teams. It is the unofficial start of the pre-NBA draft process. Scouts from every NBA team will be in attendance. And again, no disrespect intended, but I've got to be honest. I'm not sure I see Umar Ballo making it in the league. He's got the size, he's got the strength, but he is a one-trick pony. I mean, he's a one-trick pony. He doesn't block shots, doesn't have the great athletic talent to get up, no shooting whatsoever. So he can't shoot as good as Zach Edey could. So I don't know. I'm not a GM, but I don't see it. I don't see Braden Smith making it. I've said that repeatedly as well. And that's just because of his size, not because of his talent. Trust me. Give me a 7-foot body. I can't guarantee I'd be in the NBA, but I would have loved the opportunity. Let's just say that. But I just don't know that Braden has the goods in that regard. Not his talent. He's a talented, smart player. Will play professionally. No question about that. But I expect that to be on the other side of the pond. Actually, he reminds me a lot of Jordan Hulls, to be honest with you. Jordan was as good a shooter. I mean, I don't think Braden Smith is a better shooter than Jordan Hulls, for certain. Jordan had a great career overseas. Could have been longer if he didn't come back to work for Indiana, as a matter of fact. Five says that Ballo will make his money in China. I wonder if there will be tariffs on that money. Boy, just kidding. I'm apolitical. Just a joke, people. Take it that way. It's going to be interesting to see if Indiana gets things put together this week. Not the roster filled out, but guys that start hitting. It's time. And if it doesn't happen this week, it has to happen, start happening next week. Without question. Alec Lasley is going to join us next in the next segment. And Brian says that Smith's a better passer. Yeah, it's been too long for me to remember to compare that. But Andy says he's not a better shooter, but he's way more athletic than Jordy, substantially better playmaker, much better chance of a pro career. Only because of he's too small. He's not fast enough, and he's not fast enough to make up for his lack of height. Who's he going to get a shot over? He's not going to get a shot over these NBA guards. And so, again, he's a hell of a player. I think he's going to have a great run in Europe someplace. But we shall certainly see. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause. And Alec Lasley is hopefully going to be joining us in the next segment. It might not be right at the beginning, but want to get you caught up on the latest with Indiana recruiting, the visits, who's coming, who's going. And a lot of this stuff's going to come out of the blue. I talk about, there's a story up on the Hoosier.com right now about the North Florida transfer guard, Josiah Miles, visiting Indiana. And then on the football side, 2027 wide receiver Jaden Baldwin emerges as a priority target for the Hoosiers. They have a lot of guys coming in this weekend. Now, kind of odd. Your spring game is on Thursday, but you've got a lot of guys coming in on the weekend, so they will miss out on that. Again, I was it a smart move to move the football game, the spring game, from Saturday to Thursday because it's Easter weekend? Question mark. I really don't know that that would have impeded the game any more than having it on a Thursday would. I think that there would have been plenty of people that would have been fine going to a football game on a Saturday of Houston or of Easter weekend. Am I wrong? You guys know better than me because you're the ones that would be doing it. Who's going to the game on Thursday? Who was going to go on Saturday? Who would have gone on Saturday? I'm just curious. About that. But just stuff to talk about. Just stuff to keep in your mind. Another 2027 visitor for football. They're planting the early seeds. And you like to – football is doing it. They're recruiting guys for the 26 class, for the 27 class. They're getting them in here. New Palestine's High School, Meissen Oglesby, a 6'4", 225-pound two-way standout, was on campus over the weekend, came away impressed. He spoke to the Hoosier.com, said, "The thing I enjoyed the most on his visit to Indiana was the hospitality. Coach Signetti and Coach Kane made me feel like I was part of the family, which is huge to me." That family might, that family feel might give Indiana a leg up as Oglesby's recruitment begins to heat up. The Hoosiers extended him the offer. He's a tight end and edge rusher back in February. Since then, he's remained a frequent contact with tight ends coach and special teams coordinator Grant Kane, but he's getting a lot of looks from other schools. He has visits scheduled with Wisconsin, Michigan State, Kentucky, Arizona State, Miami, Auburn, Toledo, Kent State, and Miami of Ohio. Now, if you have visits to Wisconsin, Michigan State, Kentucky, Arizona, Miami, Auburn, why on God's green earth would Toledo, Kent State, and Miami of Ohio be in the conversation? I'm not meaning to diss those schools, but let's be serious. If those other schools are legit, why on God's green earth are you mentioning them? Because they've got no chance. We've got a chance to take a break. Alec Lasley's going to join us in the next segment. We'll get you caught up on all things that are going on with Indiana basketball as they continue trying to fill their roster. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Tuesday, joined now by the Hoosier.com's basketball head writer, Alec Lasley. And it's a busy time, man. It's a busy time as these names keep floating around. It's like a lottery right now with the ping pong balls just sitting there. And then one gets sucked up into the tube like, all right. And so-and-so commits to Indiana. And it's just coming at you nonstop. But Indiana's slow to fill this out yet. And I know it's going to not be something that happens quickly. But a lot of us thought that this was the week things would start hitting. I'm not to say that it won't still happen this week, but if not, next week is going to have to start posting some guys, because not that it's late, but it's you're into the process now. And I think that I would have expected to see another name or possibly two that had committed by now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I mean, but by no means is this the point where you start to get nervous and worried, no. Right? But the level of stress, if you go through the end of this week and don't land, you know, at least one player, right, heightens. And between Lamar Wilkerson, between Josiah Miles, who's going to be on campus later today and into tomorrow, Tayton Conaway, right, those are the three core players that you guys are looking at right now from an Indiana perspective. You need to start landing these guys. And by, you know, the last 48 hours, right, probably haven't been the exact way that a lot of Indiana fans were hoping it would go, with obviously Tayton Conaway leaving campus without at least officially making an announcement, and then Lamar Wilkerson trending much more towards Kentucky after those visits, after he canceled his Auburn visit, which was supposed to be scheduled for yesterday. So at this point, right, you kind of, I don't want to say pivot, but you definitely have to do some sort of a hard reset, right? You lose out on Josh Dix, you lose out on Ryan Conwell. Things aren't trending in the perfect direction for Lamar Wilkerson at the moment. Again, as of last night, still had not informed the coaching staffs of a full decision. But if that goes Kentucky's way, right, you're now looking at missing out on your three top guard targets, all three who were, you know, phenomenal shooters, phenomenal scorers. And you really have to now do a little bit of a hard reset to evaluate where you're going to land some of this top talent from. Because, yes, you still have some really good pieces in Tucker DeVries, obviously Connor Enright, and then another good piece in Reed Bailey. But you need more help around those guys, and you need shooters. And that's the one thing that, you know, Darren DeVries has emphasized and stressed, is he loves to have plenty of depth at the shooting position. And right now you don't have that. And that's what all of his teams, his successful teams, have been made up of, are multiple shooters at multiple different positions. And right now you're very, very much limited to Tucker DeVries. Reed Bailey has the ability to stretch the floor a little bit, but he's by no means a high volume knockdown shooter at that position. Connor Enright's shown the ability to do that in a Darren DeVries system. But Lamar Wilkerson was that guy who you could have, you know, put anywhere on the floor and he would have hit a high volume of perimeter shots. So now you have to really take a hard reset. There are going to be other shooters out there, obviously. There are going to be other scorers. But you need to start landing some of these players so you know what the rest of this offseason is going to look like. And right now there are just obviously still a lot of questions of, you know, what this team can be, what this team is going to look like, and more importantly, you know, where these pieces are going to come from and fit in.
We've got to mention here that Five Lefts is referring to the IDS, the Indiana Daily Student, the student paper that says Petrovic. Who is Petrovic? Did I not missing out on a name?
That's Zerno's agent.
Oh, okay. So, said that Zerno did not want to decommit, that they reached out to DeVries' staff four times with no response. Well, I mean, first of all, if the coach doesn't come to you and say that we want you, that's probably a pretty good indication.
I was told this was back the day after Darren DeVries was hired. I was told that they had a call set up. Now, if that call happened, who knows? I was told the call was set up. At that point, right? Look, you know, if you're committed to another coach, that new coach coming in, you know, does not need to keep that commitment, especially in this day and age of the transfer portal. Aaron Zerno has now taken a couple different visits. You know, I believe he went to Villanova, I believe he went to Miami, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of additional interest from that end of things. And it's interesting that this comes out now, but like I said, I was told that a call was set up. Who knows if that call happened? That was the day after he was hired. And then right after that, he decommitted, but it's clearly obvious that, you know, he did not really fit into what Darren DeVries wanted as a system and wanted, you know, for his first roster. For this to come out now, right? I mean, I don't know the whole point and rationale of it. But this should be a non-factor and non-talking point, because coaches don't have to keep prior commitments. And that's clearly what this seems to be in this scenario.
Yeah. It reminds me back in the day of Tom Crean, Grant Gillon, a player from Northern Indiana that should not have received a scholarship offer from Indiana. And then I think that Crean kind of pushed him out, and I don't understand why, but Gallon just took that personally and made this big deal out of it, and stories came out, which I thought was stupid on his part personally. But just like I do with this, look, if the girl doesn't want you, she don't want you, man. Accept it and move on. But it is time for for the DeVries staff to start making hay. I know that they're just now getting fully together, though. You just had Kenny Johnson named on the staff. Still no official announcement, and I wonder why, about Drew Adams, who has been there the whole time with him everywhere he's been, why that has not been officially announced yet.
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, they're all still working right now. So I think it's just more or less that they want to announce everyone all together. Obviously, they already officially announced Nick Norton, but I think that was pretty much known from the very beginning that he would be joining Darren DeVries. I think it's just making sure that all the kind of final details are settled for the staff. But as we know, Drew Adams and Kenny Johnson, I was told Kenny Johnson was already on campus on this week, Saturday. So he was there for the visits. So that, you look at what they're doing. They're still working. They're still recruiting. They're obviously, in the midst of getting a roster together. I don't think it truly is a huge deal that they haven't officially announced anything, because we all know what this staff is going to look like, at least up to a certain point, with Kenny Johnson, Drew Adams, Nick Norton, and a few others that have obviously been mentioned.
Kenny Johnson is a good add to this staff. He is a very good, well-known recruiter in college basketball, has familiarity with Indiana, having been on the staff prior with Tom Crean. He understands the state, understands the basketball connection, not that he is necessarily going to be recruiting Indiana, but understands the everything that goes on with Indiana, and understands about being in that position he was with Crean, where they were at rock bottom. They haven't done much since then, so that would be weird to come back that many years later and to see it still at a position that it had been in essence. Actually, not what it was when he was here, during the time he was here. I think they won a Big Ten title at least, but hopefully that gets back to being the case. The recruitment side, all of these guys that we're seeing, the names, and I get it, because we've seen so many of these players come out of mid-major schools and whatnot, but every single one that Indiana is currently looking at are guys that you never heard of, which I don't have an issue with that. I know that as a coach, you want to get the guys that you think fit your program, what you're trying to build. I don't get that or have an issue with that at all. As a matter of fact, the guy that was just on, Josiah Miles, he's listed as like the 223rd ranked portal guy, but his stats are kind of off the chart. I mean, great shooter. He has good numbers. So I don't understand. Why is he ranked so low with the numbers that he has? It has to be the competition.
Yeah. I mean, again, the transfer portal rankings are always going to be hit or miss, because you're going to get guys who, look to be able to, take the step up from like a mid-major to a high major, or even a non, power four school to a power four, and go from a role player to a star. And, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but, to base it off of rankings, right? We've gone down this path now almost every single year, where guys are way overrated and guys are way underrated. So, no one's really going to know what, these players are going to look like and what this team is going to look like in terms of their capabilities and their, ability and what expectations should be until the season actually gets going. Definitely not, in the middle of April. But, for a kid like Miles, right, a guy who, shown some ability, he's still young, only played two seasons, both at obviously North Florida there, but a guy who, is looking to take that next step. I think it's more or less of a, unknown for him at this point. And I don't think from an Indiana perspective, you're looking at him to come in and be the star, right? But again, there are only four players on this roster as of today. You need a lot more than four to fill out a roster, and you need a lot more than four to be a very good team when it comes down to, making a deep run in whether it's a Big Ten tournament or whether it's a NCAA tournament. We saw, the depth that, the majority of the better teams in the Elite Eight or the Final Four had, and that was going eight or nine deep, but eight or nine with very, very much consistent performances from those eight or nine guys, right? And so you need people to come in, play their roles, and know how to have breakout games. You saw that from Florida, multiple guys stepping up, right? Will Richard, you know, was kind of that third or fourth scorer for Florida for most of the year, and, you know, kept them in the game in the national championship game and ended up, you know, being really the catalyst for why Florida won that one. So it doesn't matter where these guys are ranked, because at the end of the day, no one knows how they're going to be able to translate skill-wise to the next level. And there's always going to be evaluations that miss. But if a coach likes him and a coach, you know, thinks he can fit that specific style, then you have to trust that, because again, Darren DeVries has known how to flip rosters and build rosters. This one just is obviously taking a little bit more time. And you're seeing a little bit more stress because, again, you missed out on Josh Dix. You missed out on potentially getting Ryan Conwell. And then, obviously, if Lamar Wilkerson does move over to Kentucky, then you kind of miss out on three really high-priority targets. And that's what people are just going to remember.
And what about Troy guard Tayton Conterway? He's been a name that has really been bouncing around as well. No updates on him here of late.
Yeah, so just wrapped up his visit the other day to Indiana, visited Vanderbilt right before that, Mississippi State as well. And it looks like it's probably going to be a commitment that should, or a decision that will wrap up this week. And it does look like it's going to come down to Indiana and Vanderbilt most likely. But no decision, you know, has been made up to this point. But a guy that Indiana should feel comfortable in landing, a guy who fits perfectly with what Darren DeVries wants. Again, a playmaker who can get downhill, create space for other shooters. Isn't a, you know, very, very good shooter. He's been more streaky in his career up to this point. But a guy who, again, if you're trying to set a culture year one, a guy who plays extremely hard, very physical, very good defender. And if you pair him with, again, other shooters, which is what the vision is for this roster, it's a, you know, potential terrific addition if he does decide to go to Indiana here later this week, with the assumption that commitment will happen, whether it is Indiana, Vanderbilt, in some point over the next few days.
How could Indiana lose out to Vanderbilt if that were to happen? Unless he is an extremely smart individual who is thinking that his post basketball career is going to be in the business world somewhere. I would get that totally because of the school. At Vanderbilt. Other than that, I'm like, why on God, man, not only going to Indiana, it's an opportunity to go to a place, which I don't think that they give a crap about this because they're not from the region, but to be a part of bringing Indiana back to where they should be. This has to happen now on this cycle with, I don't mean now. I mean, during the Darren DeVries era, this has to happen. They cannot have a third straight failed coaching hire. And I don't consider Tom Crean a failure because he had Indiana ranked number one. Yeah, he went off the cliff at the end, but not a failure. He took him from ground zero to number one. So just keep that in your pipe. But the last two, Ofers, man, they've got to – it's everything is set up too perfectly. NIL, the transfer portal, was made for Indiana to return to being to Indiana. And boy, there's still, it's such a slow, sluggy process. And you can't expect magic and lightning in a bottle. But man, it's hard to not look at people like Pat Kelsey, who came from the College of Charleston, had to fill his entire roster like Indiana is. He didn't even have a Trent Sisley coming in, he didn't have a Tucker DeVries coming with him. So, he had to do all of that and then had a damn good season on top of it. There is some pressure for Darren DeVries to not match that, but I think that Indiana needs to be in the tournament next year. There's no excuse to not be able to put together a tournament-worthy team, and we'll see whether or not that happens. But I mentioned earlier about pressure being on him, and there should be some. There should always be pressure. If you're at an elite school, always. If it's not, then something's not right. But that's a natural, organic thing at a place like Indiana. It just happens because of the fan base, because of everything along with it. Whether or not it happens, I'm a little, we'll find out. I have no doubts. It's just, I'm just wondering why it is. It seems like this is a little slower. Not that I'm thinking there should be four or five guys kicking in, but you would think one a week at the minimum. But when you're just missing out on guys, is your basket, do you have enough eggs in your basket?
Yeah, I mean, that can be asked, right? But I mean, if you look at, right, he's been on the job for almost a full month. And I know a lot of people, right, are going to look at the Tucker DeVries coming with him and say that really, you know, that's a shoe-in almost. But you're looking at now at least three guys, right? Take Trent Sicily out of the equation. But, you know, you have three guys that committed in a month. That's almost one a week. So theoretically, right, you're moving at that pace. But you need to continue to get those additions because you don't have five guys, six guys already on the roster where you only need to fill, you know, four or five spots. The other thing, again, is, you know, Indiana has a full roster to fill. So NIL cannot be all bunched up in one or two players. And that's something else that you have to think about. Obviously, if you overspend for someone, that's going to limit who you can have at two, three, four other spots. And that's one thing that I think Indiana is trying to play with a little bit because, again, not many teams have to rebuild an entire roster from top to bottom right away. You always have five, six spots, right? But you can always lean on five, six players who are returning. Elijah Freeman, Division II guy that visited Indiana before the dead period, about a week and a half ago now, I guess, took visits to Auburn, Tennessee. Those are the three schools pretty much heavily involved for him at this point. A decision is likely going to come again in the next week. You know, Indiana had a lot of steam before the dead period, and obviously he's now taken two visits since. It doesn't appear that there's going to be any more visits from him. So you're looking at Indiana, Tennessee, Auburn probably for Elijah Freeman, a you know really athletic wing who kind of fits you know almost everything that all three of those programs really want to do, and that's get more athletic, longer on the perimeter. But you have to look at you know, Auburn and Tennessee probably have the better pitch because they've been able to not only get, especially from an Auburn standpoint, they've been able to really produce a lot of very, very good college players who have come up from the JUCO ranks, who have come up from the Division II ranks. Bruce Pearl has had a phenomenal track record in that realm. And then obviously you see what Tennessee's been able to do with Dalton Connect and then Chaz Lanier the last two seasons. So, you know, if you're looking at that from that perspective, right, why would you not want to join that potential development? So those are the three programs there for Elijah Freeman, though.
Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com on three. Go to thehoosier.com on three and become a subscriber for the latest in information on recruiting, basketball, football, news for the Hoosiers, and much more. Alec Lasley, appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Jim. Have a good one.
Thank you, sir. We've got more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. I was out at Hard Truth yesterday. I mentioned that earlier. Great day to be out there. I had a lovely meal. Picked up some lovely Hard Truth merchandise. And always great to be out there. Make sure you stop by. They've got, like you hear on the commercial, live music, great food. They have some pretty, pretty, pretty good spirits. But it's just a fun place to go hang out. It's on 325 acres in this lovely, lovely place. If you have not been to Big Woods Hard Truth in Nashville, it's incredible. The distilling location is also a restaurant and all kinds of things. You can take tours. Just an incredible facility. But stop by. And if not, just get yourself some Hard Truth. Send me a photo of it. Appreciate that for when you guys are supporting our guys. And support all of our sponsors, whether it's if you're down in Southern Indiana, Reynolds Family Dentistry in Sellersburg. We love them. Cheryl Sizemore, Brick and Mortar Realty. We love her. Oh, everybody. Andy Moore Honda. Ben Davis Ford Chevrolet up in Fort Wayne. Wherever you are, support our sponsors. And if you know anybody or are someone who would like to be a sponsor, we can take care of that. Andy says, it sounds like I have some doubts. I'm not sure what that is in regards to. So I'm sure you'll put up what you were talking about. Five says, IU fans continue to rule out their part in all of this. Fans do not want to play for hateful. Not all you fans, of course. Yeah, I don't think the fans have anything to do with what is Indiana filling its roster right now. That has nothing to do with that. These guys are going on visits. They are going through the visit at each place. They are listening to the NIL packages that is being presented to them. They are listening to the coaches saying, all right, here's how I want to use you, and here's what I'm going to do with you. Here's some video. Here's how we're going to attack. Here's what I want to see from you. Here's what I expect you to do for us. That's what's going on. That's all they care about. That's all they care about. And if you can't take the heat, get the hell out of the kitchen. It's a tough world. It's a real world. And they're in it now. They're getting paid handsomely. I'm not saying that gives a right for people to be ignorant. And should you reach out to anyone, players? No, absolutely not. I don't. And you damn sure shouldn't. I would have reason to. Although we're not supposed to for, working in the media. We're not supposed to do that. But I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's why fans feel that they have the right to send ignorant messages to anybody is no different than it's like road rage. You're an anonymous keyboard warrior hiding behind that. Why would you send that to, first of all, to anybody, much less the players, whatever it is. I don't care if it's basketball, football, tiddlywinks, doesn't matter. If you've ever sent a message to a player that was, first of all, you shouldn't be sending any message. I don't care if they're positive or negative. You don't need to be trying to correspond with the player. You can comment, send a comment out, but you don't need to send direct you don't need to message them. Secondly, I do hate when people have their messages closed, especially if I'm trying to reach them. But if that is the case, shut your damn messages off. It's a simple thing. It's an easy fix. Turn the channel. Turn it off. Turn down the volume. Whatever it takes. So, that's the hard truth. That is the hard truth. You're going to have to find the guys that want to play, that want to, boy, I hope I haven't lost it. That want to play hard, that want to win. There's no question. You look at these teams, Florida, Auburn, Duke, Houston. Those guys were scrapping, man. They were just going at it nonstop. We've got a pause on the recorder, so I cannot tell if we're still going. I certainly hope so. My computer is frozen up, but I'm going to keep talking. But yeah, you've got to find the guys that want to win. You've got to find the guys that will play like that. Florida didn't have a problem with guys playing hard to win. Auburn didn't. Houston didn't. Duke didn't. And they were all different teams, different type of teams. Duke was built around Cooper Flagg, freshman phenom, likely the number one pick in the NBA draft. Florida was led by a guy you hadn't heard of, but somebody you will be hearing from now. There was just so many different guys and styles. Houston, the way they play, completely different. Defensive-minded. So, Cisco Sunrise says, you're right, exactly right, Jim. We shouldn't individually contact players, and they shouldn't have criticized half of the fan base. They felt it wasn't fair to them. You know what? Here's the thing. Maybe they are, though. They should be allowed to have that opinion. Just because they have an opinion you don't like, take it with a grain of salt. Yes, I agree. There was some stuff that shouldn't have been said, but I also think some stuff was put in their heads by the coach. That's a whole nother point. Getting off onto a different subject. Social media, if you think that Indiana is alone, you're not. Every elite program has the same issues. They all do. They all do. Hey, man, another great fun show. Appreciate you. Out to Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com. Make sure to go there, subscribe, thehoosier.com, now with On Three. Keep up with everything happening on recruiting news, Indiana football, basketball, the whole deal. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Fox, and Big Ten as well. Back tomorrow with the usual cast. Dylan Sin, Kyle Neddenrip from the Indy Star, and Sir Rick Bozich as we get closer to the spring football game. Appreciate each and every one of you. Go out and have yourselves a great day. Until tomorrow, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everybody. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. Make sure you are a subscriber wherever you podcast or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. And for the most up-to-date news on Indiana basketball, football, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com now with On Three. Just go to thehoosier.com and subscribe today. On Three has great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong covering football, Pete Nakos, Jamie Shaw, and Joe Tipton breaking basketball stories every day. In addition to that, our own local coverage with Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning covering everything Indiana just for you. Go to thehoosier.com, subscribe today. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.